Now we're working through the book of Revelation, and today is the second last in a series of the book of Revelation. It's exciting, why? Because everything is climaxing, coming to the end of it all, really. Fantastic, as I said, this book is the greatest book on earth, right? Because this book starts earlier than any other book in the book of Genesis, when nobody is around, only God is around, and only God can tell us a story. But more than that, as we all know, this book ends later than any other book because nobody knows how the world is going to end except God himself. Amen, isn't it? So what a delight, a joy it is to revel, okay, and to really tease it out and open the book, okay, of Revelation for you and to understand what it is at the end of it all, how the world is coming to an end. And you can see, friends, all the signs are there pointing in that direction, just more and more, friends, okay, really. What is happening in Ukraine and Russia is just moving in that direction as well, as much as so many things around the world, friends. That's the reality of it. And all people who shouldn't be fearful or afraid, it is that of the people of God. And all God's people say, so important, isn't it? And therefore, friends, you know what? Today, I'm going to speak of a vision of perfect justice and perfect rule. That's a vision that the Bible tells us at the end of time, okay? And then time shall be no more forever and ever, okay? And so here in Revelation chapter 19, all right, verses 1 to 9, we're going to read the Word of God. It's going to ask you to stand up. Is it okay? In honor of God's Word, although I know you're masked up, but let's try our level best to read aloud together. It'd be so wonderful, isn't it, in the house of God. Together, come, let's go. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, "Amen! Hallelujah!" Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar rushing waters and like peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And it added, "These are the true words of God." Our Father, these indeed your word, the true words of yours. Take it by your Spirit, speak to us, and draw us in response, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. As I said, friends, you know, we are given a vision of what the world is going to be like one day at the end of time. All right, or the beginning of something eternal forever and ever. And it's an amazing glimpse, friends. You and I, of all people on earth, are privileged to be given this glimpse. And it's only found in this book, the Word of the Living God. There's no other book can tell us this, except this book, the Word of the Living God. And that's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so important for all of us. And the amazing thing is this. We are given, friends, first and foremost, a vision, okay, of that of perfect justice being portrayed before our eyes. How does the Bible tell us, in what way he tells us about how this perfect justice is really being played out before our eyes? Friends, you know, how is it shown like this? Firstly, friends, there is a proclamation of victory. Okay, and so here in verse 1 of chapter 19 of Revelation, verses 6 and 7 we've read, let me read again, okay, for all of us. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great mountain in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad in." You see, there's a shout of victory, a shout of ready joy and blessing and glory of God that will be present in a powerful manner. Friends, this is amazing. Here are the saints of God shouting, proclaiming the victory that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that what happens? What is this proclamation about? That Babylon has been defeated in chapter 18 that we see. I think Pastor Mike Nguyen gave a fantastic, I think, okay, exposition of that from chapters, okay, 17 and 18 to all of us 3 weekends ago, isn't it? And what is this Babylon? All right? This Babylon basically represents the earthly powers and rulers of this world, the system of the world that is set over against God. And so, for example, social, economic, political structures that are set over and against God and God's purpose. This is what is going to happen. One day, all this will collapse. Why? Because this is under the control and power of the prince of this world. Satan is behind it all, controlling all the structure systems and the powers, including the mindset of people's thinking as well. Take an example. This is nothing new, really. 18th century. Some Western powers got together in a boardroom in Europe, and together decide how to carve up the continent of Africa. You know that? And that's what it is. And so, for example, Algeria is carved up and taken charge of by France. Okay, Uganda and Kenya carved up to be taken charge of by the British, including South Africa, and before that, it was actually the Dutch. And then, for example, Belgium, Congo, and the Belgians were there carving up Belgium, Congo, in charge and control as well. Okay, and then also what happens is Portugal were there carving up Angola and Mozambique, and that's why Angola, Mozambique is Portuguese-speaking. All right, Algeria is French-speaking. They carved the whole continent of Africa by some of these powers seated at a boardroom, okay, in that of Europe. Friends, you know, this is going to play out one day. Where the boardroom is, we don't really know. But behind it all is Satan manipulating and taking control, using political powers, all right, that will combine with economic powers to decide how this world is going to be controlled by the powers of the darkness and the prince of this world like this. Satan is behind the controlling, manipulating everything. And what you and I see right now, for example, okay, in the Ukraine-Russia war, it's really moving in that direction. Okay? Friends, can I say, don't believe what the media says. All right? About Russia, about Putin. Not that Putin is a good guy. All right? But the whole thing is pitted against this. It's a wicked, evil man. As I said, he's not a good guy necessarily. But, friends, the Western media has its own agenda. Never trust Western media. I tell people, you know what I tell people? If you watch CNN, you should watch it like this, CNN. That's how you should watch CNN. Really, you know what I mean? You and I should be watching other news media like CGTN, China Global Television. Better if you can watch Russian television. Then you've got a more balanced view about what the world is all about, isn't it? Because no media, friends, can I say, is ever neutral. They already got an agenda, including Al Jazeera as well. And that's what you and I as Christians, when we watch media, listen to news, you and I must be discerning. You and I need the mind of Christ. You know what I mean? All right? And line this up with Scripture to say what the Scripture is really telling us all about. Because what? The Word of God is always true. Amen? No media outlet is ever true completely. And that's a reality. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, you and I know, at the end of it all, there will be a proclamation of victory because Jesus Christ has come to defeat the powers of the world. And therefore, he reigns victorious for it, as we shall see further on like this. But you know what? As all the powers of the world has been defeated under control of the prince of this world, what would happen then? There would therefore, friends, you know, be an invitation to God's people to join in the supper of the Lamb. All right? And this is something that especially Malaysians love. Why? Because we love eating. Hello, isn't it? You know, friends, one day there'll be a mighty, mighty makan, okay? And you can eat as much food as you want, and they will not put on weight at all. This is amazing, and that's what it is. So that the end vision given is actually a great supper of the Lamb, and that's how it's given to us like this, chapter 19, second half of verse 7 to verse 9. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. You see, friends, at the end of it all, in this proclamation of victory, there will be a great celebration, a great feast that will take place, friends. We pray by God's grace that we will all be invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb, and all God's people say, there will be great joy, you see. All right, in this amazing, amazing celebration. As much as, friends, you know what? There's a proclamation of victory because, right, the powers of the world have been defeated. All right, the control of the prince of the world will have been defeated in the process. And therefore, what do we see here in this regard here? There is, therefore, a proclamation of judgment. In what way judgment is proclaimed? And so here in verse 2 of Revelation 19, it says, for true and just as his judgments, He has condemned the great prostitute, referring actually in this case to Babylon in chapter 18, okay, of Revelation, who corrupted the earth by adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of the saints. And so, friends, you notice, God is going to execute judgment. And it says there clearly, for his judgments are true and just. Okay? God's judgment is true and just. In other words, friends, you know, God's judgment is based on truth. Only God knows the full truth and the perfect truth. Amen? No human beings would know the full truth and the perfect truth except God himself, who sees everything true and true, as we're going to see after it's a little bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, this is, for you and I, friends, the greatest assurance and comfort we can all have. That one day when God executes his judgment, it will be absolutely based on truth. So there's no quarrel whatsoever. Amen. And this is where, friends, it gives you and I, especially as Christians, great comfort. Why? Because we don't have to worry all the injustices in this world, all the abuse and power and position, everything at the end will be exposed. Amen. God's judgment is based on truth. And nothing but the truth. But also his judgment is just, we are told here. And that's, friends, you know what? God's judgment is absolutely fair. Totally, right? Just across the board. And that's why, friends, you know, one day when we come before God, you and I don't have to worry whether will this God be fair? Will this God be just? We are told very clearly, friends, in the Word of God, the God of ours is a God of truth, justice, and righteousness. And he's concerned about this all, like this is saying. And then only, friends, you know what? For all of us human beings, Christians or not, we will feel a sense of peace. We will feel a sense of confidence and gratitude, isn't it? To know that everything wrong in this will be put right finally. Friends, can I say, it is not just Christians who desire justice. Many non-Christians desire that. Even what they see in Malaysia today. You talk to many non-Christians, they're also so upset and angry, but especially more of God's people upset and angry. Amen? No, we are all very nice people in UMC, not upset and angry. But you know, that's the reality. Right, right-thinking, sensible Malaysians be so upset about what is wrong. Not just Malaysia, around the whole world, including Western world. So many things have gone wrong, really, tragically like this. Isn't it? But friends, you know what? One day, everything will be put right. So sometimes we feel a sense of injustice being committed against us. Sometimes lies being propagated against us. Friends, can I say, you and I can be at peace and at rest. You know, one day, everything will put right. Amen. There's a confidence, there's assurance, there's a security we all have in this regard here. All right? Now, in what way this judgment would be executed? How would this be carried out? And so, first and foremost, friends, it gives us a picture of Jesus Christ, the perfect judge. Why? Because Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16, it tells us about Jesus now coming on, okay, right on the scene. And what is he going to do here at the end of it all, okay, that we are told like this? I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, which it should strike down the nations. He will rule them with the iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, the righteous judge. Jesus Christ, true and faithful. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is going to come in finally and put everything right. And we're told just now that his eyes were like blazing fire. And that's why he sees into every person, everything here on earth. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Amen. And that's why you and I can have the comfort and peace that even though at times you feel really unjust, how you abuse, exploited, taken advantage of friends, you and one day will rest assured everything wrong will be put right. Amen. That's the blessings of God. That's assurance. That's the peace of God that you and I as Christians would have. Don't worry. Don't be so upset and angry that you want to leave the country. Hello? Stay la. Isn't it? Because everything wrong will be put right. And that's the reality of all. Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will come and storm across the wall and correct everything wrong that will put it right. Okay? And that's what you and I are going to see. Not only that, friends, judgment will be put upon all those who corrupted the earth. All those who have stolen, oppressed, cheated, lied, okay, abused, exploited the whole earth, Jesus Christ will come, okay, and judge all of these like this. And so that's why Revelation chapter 19, again, second half of verse 2, he has condemned a great prostitute, referring to Babylon and all earthly powers and rulers under the control, prince of this world, who corrupted the earth by adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And then 17 and 18, and I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in mid-air, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and the riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. In other words, friends, you know, one day, all evils and wrongs will be so judged to the extent that so many, many people are left there dying, that burial could not take place, that God himself will invite the birds of the air to feast on the flesh of all the wickedness that has taken place in the lives of people. That's the picture we are given, friends, of what we will be like one day. It's like sometimes, you know, in this pandemic, sometimes in some places, the deaths are so many, you cannot, okay, handle, okay, all the deaths. And so you're just left there decaying. And so God knows, okay, and that God allow and call upon the birds of the feast on this so that it doesn't become, okay, another epidemic that will break out as a result in a process like this, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, God has designed and planned all of these things, all right, some 2,000 years ago when the book of Revelation was written. So all those who corrupted the earth, they will be judged by the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not only that, friends, there's another one, on all who have killed God's servants. Why? Because, again, second half of verse 2 of Revelation 19, it says, he has avenged on her the blood of his servants. See, friends, for those who have died in Christ, being killed and persecuted for their faith, friends, you know, one day, the Lord will really vindicate these people. So sometimes we are all heartbroken, they say, to read our testimonies of accounts of many faithful servants of God who were killed and martyred for their faith. Like, for example, I think many of us have seen a video, isn't it? Of 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians who were arrested in Libya, and there they were executed, isn't it? Right? Before our eyes in the video. Horrific, terrible, wicked and evil. How can human beings do this to one another? And you know what? Before they were all executed, what happens is you're given an opportunity to renounce their faith. They stood firm. I believe, you know what? These will be resurrected by the Lord. All right? And Jesus is going to prove who is right, who is wrong. Because all kinds of evil, reckless killing and that kind of thing cannot go on without being vindicated. Amen, isn't it? Then only God is fair. Then only God is just. Isn't it? Then only we live in a world whereby we are all comfortable and comforted by the fact that God will put everything right. And it's so important because our God has got a justice and fairness and righteousness. Isn't it? Nobody gets away with anything, any nonsense that anyone does. And that's a reality for us all. And so, friends, you know, it makes it very clear that those who have died in the Lord, whose blood has been shed, the Lord will come to avenge them. Clearly, at the end of it all. Not only that, the beast and the false prophet are captured and thrown into the lake of fire. And so verse 20 of Revelation 19, but the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. As if, friends, you know, the beast here, in this case, actually refers to the Antichrist in the book of Revelation sometimes. That's the name given, all right, instead of Christ, trying to be a pretender, okay, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Antichrist, the beast here. But also the book of Revelation tells us there's another one trying to be a religious leader, trying to perform signs, miracles, and healings on it, and this is called the false prophet. And so, friends, you know what? In the book of Revelation, we are told there is an unholy trinity, as much as there's a holy trinity of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But friends, on the other side of the evil divide, there is the unholy trinity of Satan, of, okay, the Antichrist, also called the beast, as well as that of the false prophet. And the false prophet and, okay, the beast or the Antichrist will work together with Satan to try to deceive the whole world and control the world. And they control the world through, friends, you know, human, earthly, political systems and powers, and many human beings involved will manipulate all this, and increasingly, this is what you're going to see, friends. Increasingly, a handful of people will try to control the whole world without realizing behind it is Satan at work. They're just playing to their hands. And that's a reality the Bible tells us very clearly all about, really, okay, like this. And so here, friends, you know, that you find that the false prophet, okay, who can do miracles, signs, wonders, who could deceive people and delude people like crazy, and many will follow him, thinking that we have finally found a solution. And you know, friends, can I say, this false prophet in the coming days will rise and will convince religious leaders, even Christian leaders who believe in him, that he is really a solution for this whole world's disunity religiously, that he will try to therefore bring everybody together. And if you're not careful and discerning, even Christian leaders could be fooled by him. And that's what it is trying to tell us, friends, in the book of Revelation. On the other hand, the beast, the Antichrist, someone who exercises huge, massive political and economic power. And so religious power, political, economic power will be wielded by these two, the beast as well as the false prophet, okay, with Satan as it were, the chief behind them, manipulating everything. So that, friends, if we don't know and don't realize what is happening in the coming days, we find the whole world will be led astray. To the extent, friends, you know, that many, many will be willing to subject themselves to the control of Satan. In what manner and form? By taking on the mark of the beast, by having a number willing to happily submit to it, because without that number, you cannot sell or trade, you cannot buy or sell. Those are the realities. Friends, you know, when the book of Revelation tells us that one day, every person will be given a number, and without that number, you cannot buy or sell or trade. When many of us read it years ago, we say, come on, that cannot be true right now. All right, and worse still, those who read it 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation, this must be really, you know, something absolute trash. But you and I know, friends, when the book of Revelation written 2,000 years ago, it was prophesying the supercomputer age. Because you and I know, without a computer, you cannot operate with one single number. Amen. But now with a computer, supercomputer, just one number, you can go anywhere in the world and you can operate freely without any problems. And that's what it is. And that's why, friends, as I said in my last sermon here, someone did a study. There are 735 prophecies in the whole Bible. Out of the 735, 596 has been fulfilled to the letter. For example, okay, the virgin birth of Christ. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, where Jesus will be born? Exactly, Bethlehem Ephrathah. All right, where Jesus will be born? It's all there, friends. All it fulfilled to the letter. It means 81% has been fulfilled. It leaves only 19% to be fulfilled, and many of these are to do with the last days. And for example, in the case of the last day, Jesus says one of the signs, okay, is that of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines and pestilences. This will increase more and more. And we say this has been fulfilled like this. And so many, many more, friends, for you and I to be reminded, okay, to be challenged and just keep on track to follow exactly what God is saying to us and to live in obedience and in trust and faith and faithfulness. And so, friends, you know, with the execution of judgment is that the beast, okay, and the false will be thrown into the lake of fire and they will be burned there forever and ever. On top of that, friends, you know what? The rest will be killed. Why? Because verse 21 of Revelation 19, the rest of them were killed with a sword that came out of the mouth of the rider and the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on the flesh. Why is it all the rest are killed? Seems unfair, isn't it? How come? How come all the rest are killed? Why is that? Because I mentioned in my previous sermon, God has given every human on earth, every human being on earth, opportunity and chance after chance to repent and ask for forgiveness. Isn't it? All right, but you know what? Some of them bite, okay, their tongue, okay, and grit their teeth and would resist against God showing mercy and grace towards them. All right, I mentioned this example. All right, and when an aeroplane crashes, if you're able to retrieve the black box, which is really orange, bright orange box, and you find it very often in inquiry over the plane's disaster. If they play the black box, what happens? The last few minutes normally erased. Why? Because it's a conversation with the pilot and the control tower, and you find it, why is it erased normally? Because all kinds of swearing, cursing against God, and everything else takes place. So instead of friends in hope, in the last moment, in the last few minutes, a person's life, it's a repenting, ask God for mercies and grace, and when they do that, I believe God will show mercy and grace. Amen? Because our God is a good and merciful God. He wants to see all people to be saved. And that's how Apostle Peter writes to us, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to be lost, but all to come to repentance, all to come to salvation. So God is patient, and he continues to patiently wait and wait for as many people as possible to come to faith in Christ, and his desire is never for the punishment, never for destruction of anyone. But sadly, you know what, friends? God has to do it, all right, at the end of time. Why? So that he wants to purify the earth and present it really as a place suitable for the Son, Jesus Christ, to come to rule and to reign on earth forever and ever. And that's the picture we are given to all of us, friends. And that's how judgment is executed like this in a process. Then we're given a glimpse of another picture of that of perfect rule. How is this perfect rule carried out? Carried out again by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And in what way? We're given this glimpse here, and now we're back into Revelation chapter 20, how this perfect rule, all right, comes about in a process like this. Amazing, we're given this insight, this vision like this. Firstly, friends, Satan is bound and is cast into the abyss, okay? And this is the record for us, Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short while. Satan captured, bound, and then thrown into the abyss. What is this abyss? Abyss is not hell. Abyss is the place of the departed spirit. All right, the place of the departed spirit, that's abyss, okay? And so what happens, Satan is thrown temporarily there, although it's not temporary because it lasts for 1,000 years, really. And so therefore, Satan is bound so that it cannot do any more havoc here on earth, so that it will not create any more destruction here on earth, all right? And that's the first picture we are seeing of this perfect rule of Jesus. First and foremost, this Satan, who has been the last thousands of years created havoc all over the world, he has to be bound first. And that's a picture we're given, friends. And then secondly, friends, Christ comes to rule with his faithful servants. And so verses 4 to 6 of Revelation 20, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And so that's what it is, friends. After Satan is bound so that he will not create any more problem and havoc in this world, Jesus Christ comes, and Jesus Christ is going to raise those, his children, those, his servants, those who have been martyred for their faith, and that they will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. This is the picture, friends, that we are given. And that's why we have the idea of the millennial rule, or the millennium, so-called, 1,000 years rule of Jesus Christ right here on earth. And then, only friends, what happens after that? Then, surprisingly, Satan is released. Why is it? Don't ask me. Ask Jesus. Is it okay? Master, why do you release Satan again? He's getting enough problem already. Right now, even between me, husband and wife, we constantly quarrel. Maybe behind it, Satan, not true. Sometimes our own stubbornness. Is it okay? Or don't blame Satan. Sometimes I find some Christians blame Satan for anything and everything. Sometimes our own selfishness, our own stubbornness, our sins, whatever, we need to repent from like this. But you know what? Surprisingly, shockingly, Satan's allowed to come off free again. And you know what happens? Satan will then marshal his forces. And this is a picture given Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations and the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven, devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown in the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a picture, friends, finally, of the destiny of Satan. When he's released after 1,000 years, he will gather his forces, and we're told very clearly, from all corners of the earth, and wage one last battle, as it were, against God and God's people like this. But you notice, friends, it was no fight for God. Why? Because before they could even, as it were, pounce on God's people, God sent fire from heaven right away, friends, and wipe them all out completely, totally. And that's the reason why, friends, Satan is totally annihilated together with his army, just like that, by a fire coming from heaven. All right? I know with that kind of forces, and we are told the numbers are like the sand on the seashore, which is huge and massive, isn't it? And when they came upon God's people, that must be really intimidating and threatening, isn't it? It's like somebody said to Pastor Daniel, you need 200 police come. That must be quite frightening, isn't it? Most of you are preaching, we need to pray hard for you. I say, pray hard, pray, keep on praying. Okay, but you know, it is really intimate and threatening with so many gathered by Satan, okay, against God's people. But you know what? Fire just came. And shoot, it's all over for Satan and all his forces of evil and darkness like this. That's a picture, friends, that we are given. That at the end of it all, at the end of history, God has removed every sin, every wrong, every darkness, every evil, okay, like this. And then, friends, you know, it goes on to find that everyone is raised to life and judged. Verses 11 and 13 of Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he has done. Okay. Everyone, Christian or non-Christian, will be raised to life and will be judged. That's a reality, all right, for it all. This is, all right, as it were, the second resurrection for Christians. All right, because earlier on, there's a first resurrection. If there's a first, there must be a second, isn't it, for a Christian. But friends, here, in this case here, for everybody else, they were raised to life. And we're told clearly, friends, even the seas will give up the dead because many people have been drowned in the seas. For example, we all know in South China Sea, okay, just on the east coast of Kelantan and Terengganu, thousands, if not tens of thousands of Vietnamese were drowned, isn't it, all right? After the Vietnam War was over, many trying to escape from the communists, okay, there in Vietnam, isn't it? They're scared. And I have a friend of mine who went onto the boat, and the things he described is horrifying, horrifying. They were all jam-packed into the boat, okay, paid huge amount of money in terms of gold, whatever else, because a real racket going on to try to get these people to flee, but at a huge, massive price for them to get their feet. And you're jam-packed into the boat, a boat that can take usually about 20, 30 people, jam-packed with over 100 of them, and they're sitting on top of one another. And friends, you know, if you have to ease yourself in terms of passing urine or even the shitting, just too bad. You just have to do everything like that. And poor man, he described all these things to me. And sometimes they paddle like crazy because why? The boat is really overladen and it's danger of sinking in some places when it hits some waves. They've got to do help out with it. Friends, you know, many of these never survived. He was one of those fortunate who survived. Went to do a PhD actually in America and has been greatly used by God to serve the Vietnamese across America and other parts of the world. But friends, you know, many never made it. And seas around the world would give up the dead, including good people, missionaries who came in the last 2 centuries, all right, on boat to come to this part of the world to share Jesus and taken ill on the boat all right, and died in the process, what do? Just throw the body overboard? Can't help it, isn't it? And friends, you know, there are not only the bad people, many good people who have sacrificed their lives on behalf of the gospel they were raised to life. And I believe, friends in hope, for these people who know the Lord, for these people sacrificed on behalf of the gospel, they, I believe, will be judged and rewarded wonderfully, massively. Amen, isn't it? That's assurance, that's a blessings, that's the grace of God upon all our lives. Right? So therefore, everyone they raised up and those who are not in Christ will be judged accordingly and sent to a wrong place. But those who are in Christ will be raised up and sent to the place where Jesus is. And that's the testament of Scripture, right? For those who desire justice and righteousness, they're walking right with God. They will be with God forever and ever. And that's the picture, friends, we are given at the end of time for all of us in this regard here. Therefore, it says, so some will be with Christ forever. And so Revelation 20 and in verse 15, where it says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I mean, God forbid, really, any one of us here this afternoon that our names are not in the book of life. God forbid that should take place. And if you're not sure yourself this evening, I want to urge you, make a commitment today, not tomorrow, today, afterwards, to take a step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because God's word never lies. These are the true words of God. All right? And if anyone tempers with his word, like tempers in the book of Revelation, the Bible makes it very clear. Every curse, okay, and judgment will be placed upon that person. We don't meddle with this book. This is the word of the living God. Amen. And that's very important. And so, friends, you know, he's given opportunity to respond so that our names written will be written in the book of life, Lamb's book of life. Let's make no mistake about this. And that's the reality, friends. And that's why there's much urgency on the part of all of us to kind of make Jesus known, to share and draw as many as possible to faith in Christ so that their names will also be recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. But you know what? We're given a final vision. What is that final vision? What happens? The amazing thing in that final vision, God has a change of address. You know that? Okay, that's in Revelation 21, 22. All right, I'll let Pastor Chris to wrap it up like this, about how God changes his address. And that's a reality, okay? It is not finally the curtain came down. Not at all, friends. Finally, the curtains remain open and stayed open forever and ever. And that's in Revelation 21, 22. It's so exciting, amen, isn't it? So wonderful. And that's a picture that the Bible tells us unapologetically, as well as, friends, clearly and firmly to what is going to happen to the world at the end of time. And therefore, friends, the more important thing is, therefore, how then should we live? All right? This is not just information to gladden our hearts. This is not information to bring joy to us at the end as to how the world is going to end. Friends, it is not just one to bring comfort to us as Christians. I pray if it is, and some people love the book of Revelation. Why? Because they want to know what's happening, what's happening, what's happening. But friends, you know, it is useless to know what is happening if our lives are not consistent. Hello, are you there? I said, so the more important, how are we living our lives? That's critical and crucial even to know what is going to happen to the world. Because otherwise, then it's useless knowing the word of God. Okay, in other words, the influence, impact it must have upon all of us. And therefore, I want to suggest three things, friend, how you and I should be living. More so, and all the more so, all the way to the end. Firstly, friends, very simply, just be faithful. Be faithful to God all the way to the end. And so, the first part of verse 12 of Revelation 20, where it says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Friends, as I said earlier on, I pray that all of us and our names will be in the book of life and will remain in the book of life, because why? We can lose our names in the book of life. You know that? The Bible makes it very clear. So Hebrews 6, for example, it says, those who have known the Lord and then turned against God and rejected God and the Holy Spirit, it would be better for these people not to have known the Lord, but after knowing the Lord and turn away from God. You know? So the Bible is clear about some tragically and sadly who deny the faith, who will turn away. It is like this lady I was reading some years ago that she put on her blog and shared with everybody why she is no longer a Christian today. And she's been here at the Dream Center and did an interview with us. I wish I could meet her and sit down with her seriously to talk things through and work things out. You see, why is it sometimes people reject the Christian faith? Reject Christianity based on what? Based on their own experience. Why? Because they've been hurt by Christians. Got or not? No, it doesn't happen to UMC. It happens elsewhere. All right? They've been hurt by Christians. Therefore, they reject the Christian faith. I said that's a bad reason why. Of course, we apologize to confess. Some people, okay, reject Christians because they've been played out. That's another bad reason as well, to turn away from the faith because we know it's happened, right? We confess our sins, we acknowledge our wrong, okay? There are many reasons why. But friends, all these reasons are not good enough if we have a chance to sit down with them and work things through, honestly speaking, friends. And so why certain things are like this? Like, for example, I just came back from speaking at the Chinese Annual Conference Pastor School. These are all the Chinese-speaking Methodist churches across Peninsula Malaysia. 140 of these pastors were meeting in Ipoh, and I was invited Bishop Wong Teck Wah to speak. And so Doris and we drove up there on Tuesday morning. When we arrived noontime, one of the main organizers came up to me and said, Pastor Daniel, we have sad news to tell you that the bishop met a serious accident. My heart was broken. Why? Because I was looking forward towards meeting him. He's an amazing, brilliant guy. His heart for the work of God's kingdom is just amazing, wonderful, sacrificial, humble, brilliant, with a PhD and everything else. I invited him and his wife to have lunch with us here, actually, in the holding room with Doris, and we had a fantastic time talking to her. And our dream of what we can do to change the pastoral leadership in this country dramatically in a wonderful manner. And I said, we have no confirmation, all right, hopefully news will come true. Then 3 o'clock when I came down, get ready, you want to speak in the first session, I was told, has gone on to be with the Lord. You can imagine the sadness, all right, the somber atmosphere just pervaded the whole place and everyone was glum. I said, well, Lord, what is this happening? Why is this servant just taken off like that? All right, why? Friends, we never know why. But what we know is that this man has faithfully run the race and finished it well. And he has touched so many, many people across the country, going all out to serve God and God's people. Amen. And so, friends, whilst we have opportunity, it's so important to remain steadfast and faithful to God all the way to the end. Amen. And that's the first thing. In spite of pressure, can I add on, in spite of persecution, in spite of sometimes the fact that we may be threatened about our life, give up on Christ, if not, we'll kill you. Friends, you know, what do we do? It's a reminder to all of us that those who die in the Lord, their blood will be avenged in the process for us. So let's remain faithful by God's grace. Okay? Amen. The second, okay, is to be fruitful. Not just to be faithful to the Lord all the way to Him, but to be fruitful as well. Because where it says here, the dead will judge according to what they have done as recorded in the books. According to everything we have done, according to the fruit of our labor and all that we invested, deployed into it, all these things, friends, will be recorded and made known. And therefore, friends, the reality is this. Whilst we are judged by our faith, we shall be rewarded by our works. Amen, isn't it? All right, because this God is a good God and a fair God. Why should somebody who hardly works, okay, and does anything be rewarded as much as a person who works very hard and very well, isn't it? So God is fair and just, and that's a reality for us all, that He wants to reward us and reward us according to our work. Let's be fruitful. Let's go on to serve the Lord. I so appreciate, actually, Bishop. So when we finish the pastor school on Thursday, all right, everything crammed together for me to speak in all four sessions, and then I dash off with Doris, okay, to sit here to attend a wake service, all right, to pay my last respect to this great man of God and say goodbye to him, all right? And what happens was this, that right, then we dash back Friday early morning, all right, to be in time to get everything ready and to try to prepare my sermon for today. Imagine, all right? The church works me hard because they think I hardly work, okay? All right, so try to do my level best to get it wrapped out, okay, just in time to preach and so on and so forth, all right, like that. But you notice, friends, everything we do, God takes a record because of the fair and just God, amen? And actually, at the funeral service on Friday morning, all right, both Doris and as we were driving back, we tuned in, okay, to the life broadcast of the funeral service, and there was Bishop Hua Yung, the former bishop of the Methodist Church Malaysia, a dear, wonderful friend. He came out and said a few words before Bishop Jayakumar spoke. And Bishop Wahyun shared two things. I shared only the second thing he shared. He said, I had a dream. And the dream was that I ended up in heaven. And when I ended up in heaven, I met God. And I told God, God, you know, I've not finished my work yet on earth. I've not. I've got so much things I want to do, I need to do. God, he said, okay. I said, wait for a while. I'll go back and do what I need to do. Then, okay, I'll be ready for you to be received by you. You know what God said to him? No going back anymore. No going back anymore. And the message he is trying to share with us is this. Do all that we can, whilst we can, here on earth. Amen. Before it's too late. Before there is no going back anymore. Amen. Let's go all out. Because all our efforts will be noted in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you and I, friends, will be rewarded accordingly. Amen. So be faithful, be fruitful. And then finally, friends, be fervent. Be fervent. And let's be passionate for the Lord. Continue on in faith and faithfulness for the Lord. Don't backslide. Don't grow cold. Don't take for granted about our faith. Amen. Continue on and on. All right? With greater energy and faith and strength and so on and so forth. There is a Holy Spirit to help us tap into His power. There are times I'm so stretched. I said, Lord, how could I manage? How could I cope anymore? All right? You know what? There's a Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of power. Amen. So tap into His power. Why do we depend on our own strength and energy? You see, when there's a spirit of power available, not only is the spirit of power, He's also a spirit of wisdom and counsel. He will give us insights, understanding, such wisdom that He will surprise we ourselves when we talk about it like this. But friends, He's also the spirit that will bear fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, of love, peace, and joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, friends. So let's be fervent all the way. Press on with greater energy, greater passion, greater fervor for the Lord, friends. Okay, don't. We'll just go on a cruise mode, happy to wait to die one day soon. Don't do that, friends. It'll be a tragedy. Can you keep this fervor going? Bear witness to fire and inspire us. Continue to bear witness, friends. For me, in all these years now, I noticed the way to continue to fire me, inspire me, is to bear witness to Christ. Because the more you share Christ, the more excited you become. Amen. It's the more wonderful, especially when they came to faith in Christ. Especially there. Why? Because you're going to see them forever in heaven one day. Isn't it? All right? Friends, can I say, our earthly human relationships in our families, if they don't come to faith in Christ, when they die, it's all over. But the Christian family, the family of God, lasts forever and ever in heaven. You know that? That doesn't end. All right? So whilst we love to see our loved ones in heaven, but if you do know Christ, it's all over, friends. And that's why there must be urgency for us to share Jesus with them and see as many. Pray for them regularly. Pray for them fervently. Pray for them with all the energy and strength. Believe that God will use you to show love and care and support, and pray that we will lead them into the kingdom in a wonderful manner. Let me close with this. Just last week, you see, usually when I come to Dream Center, which I do practically every day when I'm around, actually, including Monday as well. And usually when I come in, some of you would notice, lunchtime, if I come in, okay, for lunch alone, I walk around the whole, okay, concourse area, including the hangar. Some people say, Pastor, why every day you come and walk around one? You know why I walk around? I walk around to pray for every table and every person. I just don't walk around for exercise, although it's part and parcel of it. I walk around, I want to see who are those who are here, and I pray for them specifically. Lord, I don't know how. Many of these friends, you know, many of these are not Christian. Majority are not Christians. How do I know? Because I walk around, walk past them, they all never say hello to me, never smile to me somehow. Right now, therefore, you know that they are not. They're strangers to me, which is what, friends, you know, I love it. I like that because what? Dream Center is built for that purpose. Dream Center is not built, okay, for members of the church. Dream Center is built for non-members of the church. Why? Because non-membership got privileges. I don't know. Amen. Yeah, seriously. It's built for the world outside. Not just for us only, more so for the world, because we want to draw as many in as possible. So I walk around to pray for every table, okay? And sometimes if I go alone for lunch, I look for one person seated by himself, all right? And then I'll dash out, grab my food quickly, and go to that table and say, excuse me, can I join you? And like all good friendly Malaysians, yeah, sure. If you walk to a table in a Western restaurant and join a foreigner, the foreigner says, can you not sit in other tables? Why come and disturb me? But Malaysians are very friendly. Oh. Amen, isn't it? All right? Okay, so one table I join, I say, my friend, excuse me, can I join? Yeah, sure. I say, you're lonely, I'm lonely, let's make friends. And that's what it is. So I share, talking, found he's 33 years old with double degree. He works just at the back here, and he's coming for lunch quite regularly here. Talk, share, not a Christian, share Jesus with him, that kind of thing, and challenge him, okay, to come. He say, wait for a while. Okay, I say, where do you live? Just SS2. And he lives with his parents, not married, live with his parents. Okay, I say, I'd like to invite you to come and bring your parents. Go, oh, my parents are Chinese speaking. I say, very good. We got Chinese church also. Okay, or settle everything nicely for you. You come. It's like I led this bus driver to faith in Christ. All right, when I went up, okay, to speak at a church camp up in Surat Petani, I brought a whole group of young working adults. I'm mentoring with them up and down. And this bus driver heard everything that I said in doing Q&A with the young working adults. So when I arrived, okay, here, 11:15 p.m. after 8 hours of drive because of massive traffic jam up and down the country, I said, Chong, because it's 1 year my junior, I said, Chong, you have heard everything. Okay, throughout this whole trip. First, say thank you so much for taking us. You heard everything, okay, throughout this whole trip. Is it good or not? You say, hey, very good. You know, a lot of people never have a chance to hear the meaning of life, purpose of living, and so many things, very good. I said, Chong, what is there to prevent you from trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You thought about it? No, nothing. So accept Jesus, okay? And he did. I said, now bring your family to come on, bring your wife to come along. Oh, cannot. My wife is Indian. I said, good. We got Tamil churches, so bring your wife to come along as well. And then finally, friends, last Friday, as I was walking out of the concourse, before I went to the office, I purposely do this, right? Right? Because I'm always on fishing trips. Hello? Okay? I'm trying to be a good disciple of Christ, be fishers of men. So I walked in, and I saw two gentlemen seated there, one from GMC, the other one in a business partnership, all right? And I slid over, sat down with him, talk, and found that this business partner has not yet trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So I shared 4 things about Jesus, why he is so unusual, so amazing, and so powerful. All right, so what about today? Accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. He said, hey, today, Good Friday. Oh, Good Friday, very good. Okay, yeah, is it not a very good? Good Friday meant for good people like you. So accept Jesus. He said, okay. Friends, you know, as you do this just more and more, it just fires and inspires you. Just want to share why? Because you want to make a difference in the lives of people. Amen. Come, let us pray. Our Father, we come before you. We want to thank and praise you for your grace upon our lives. Thank you for your goodness, mercies, and love, and grace. And we're given an opportunity. As I said earlier, if you've not taken the step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you'd like to, either in the auditorium or watching live online, if you'd like to, would you follow after me this simple prayer? Or trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask him to forgive you. Fourthly, invite Jesus into life as Lord and Savior. So if you'd like to, would you fall out to me in your heart? Because any prayer we pray sincerely, God knows, and you will seal it. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank and praise you for your love for me. I want to say that I'm a sinner. Thank you for your love for me. I believe you died on the cross. You came all because of me and the whole world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and your power. And give me your love, joy, and peace. And enable me to live for you. From today onwards, Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to be faithful all the way to the end. But also by your grace to bear fruit more and more in my countries, in my own life, in the things that I'm involved in doing, but also help me and keep me, all right, Lord Jesus, to be fervent likewise, passionate all the way to the end. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, seal it deep in every heart, every life who has prayed this prayer here in this auditorium or praying online. And bring, Father, I pray, this new birth and new life to pass. Enable these, Father, I pray, oh God, to be disciples in the life of the church. Glorify your name, Father, I pray. Shall we stand? I want to close in prayer for all of us. I know I've taken a lot of time, but for this vision is so good and so amazing and so final, as it were before, the final vision next week that Pastor Chris is going to preach, that we're seeing the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and what would we like to live with Jesus forever and ever. Let's raise our hands to God, will you? Lord, we stand humbled, grateful and thankful for your work of grace in our lives and how you've drawn each one of us to yourself, whether here in the auditorium or watching online, and others who may watch in the coming days. So grateful and thankful to you, God. Lead us on in you, your plan, your design, your purpose, Father, I pray. And enable us, oh God, to live faithfully to you and with you all the way to the end. Guard our hearts, Father, I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, from backsliding. Guard us, oh God, from just going on a maintenance mode. Keep us passionate and strong for you all the way to the end. And can you help us to bear witness to Christ? Grandfather, we are so rightly, correctly with our life, our energy, our gifts, our time, oh God. So that, Father, I pray, oh God, we will continue to bear fruit to your honor, for your glory. So bless us all, Father, I pray, so that one day, oh God, there will be a rich welcome into your kingdom, finally, as a welcome to the supper of the Lamb, as we see our names, oh God, in the Lamb's Book of Life. We just worship and praise and thank you, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for all our loved ones, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, oh God, our relatives, the many to know you. Lord, we want to pray, Father, for them all, that none will be lost, but all to come to faith, to repentance in Christ. Lord, we claim this for them. Oh God, touch their hearts. They will not harden themselves, but really humble themselves and turn to you. We claim the salvation, Father, for all these precious ones. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.